Thank you for being here. If you are a guest, please know that if you're a visitor, please know you are an honored guest. If you will, please take one of the little white cards out of the pew in front of you and give us a name and an address so we might have a record of your attendance. Today, the nation celebrates fathers. Most everyone here today, at one point in their life, had a father, didn't you? There's many here today whose fathers are no longer with them. But I guarantee you, even on Father's Day, when we think back of our fathers in our youth, we still miss them. We still wish that there were times that we could perhaps talk to them. There's a woman by the name of Jane Addams. And in 1911, she wrote, "Poor Dad. He's been left out in the cold. He doesn't get much recognition. And it would be a good thing if he had a day," which means that dads would be recognized. But you know what? It took 61 years later. And actually, I remember this. In 1971, Richard Nixon signed a bill into law making Father's Day a national holiday. You know, before that, dads, we had no day. Moms had a day. Well, you know, moms are special. And Brother Mike this morning said, you know, without fathers, where would we be? And I would like to add, fathers, without the mothers, where would you be? You know, I'm happy that today we recognize a day known as Father's Day. The first four of the Ten Commandments deal with our relationship with God, and the remaining six instruct us about our relationship with our fellow human beings. And the first of these human relationship commands reads, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God giveth you." Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And Brother Mike read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Here in Ephesians 6, verses 2 through 3, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, this is a command. Did you notice this? This is a command. It's not something we can do or not do. "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment. Too many times in our lives, in the world, they don't honor mothers or fathers. And I believe that it's getting worse as the years go by. It is a command with promise. We are to give honor to our parents And you will be a person whose life will be a quality existence. Now, although the person may live a long life, but I believe it's also talking about a quality of life. Honor thy mother and thy father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. A quality of life. Now again, most of us here, our fathers are no longer with us. But if you stop and think about the respect that you showed your dad, and then you look at your life, do you see that perhaps you had a very good life? Now, I'm not saying you didn't have trouble. I'm not saying you didn't, you know, worry about, you know, money or, you know, finances. But the quality of your life, because you honored your mother and your father, the quality of your life was probably better than those who disrespected their mom and their dad. I believe the reason that God includes this command is that it runs against human nature. Our tendency is to fight authority, isn't it? Think about back when you turned maybe 12, 13. You know when you turned 13 years old? You remember that? You started balking a little bit at the authority of your dad and your mom. Some even done it a little bit earlier. But by the time you hit 16, you believe that your dad was just hopeless. That you just wish your dad would leave you. Am I right? You just wish that your dad would just simply leave you alone. I want to run my own life. We have a tendency to want to fight against authority, whether it's the authority of God, which many fight against, the authority of the government, and the authority of our parents. I don't know about most of you, but if I got into trouble, you know what my mom would always say? Wait till your dad gets home. That put more fear into me than her picking up whatever she could find to beat me with. I remember the last time that my mother tried to spank me. I finally ended up telling her she better stop before she has a heart attack. And she had to leave the room because she started laughing. But the thing is, we have a tendency to not want to obey the rules, do we? Again, whether it's the rules that God has set forth, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, or if it's the law of the land, well, you know, nobody will know. How many of you, driving through the country, you come to a stop sign? Do you stop? Or you look a mile that way? Because, you know, in Tipton County, you can look a mile that way and a mile that way. And you just go on. And you don't even slow down. And I'm not trying to say that you do that, but who knows? In fact, you just, right here in the middle of town, how many people do you see actually stop? People don't like to obey. People, they don't like authority. We want to do our own thing. We want to be free. Now, take your Bibles, because we're going to read something here. Take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Because we're going to read about a young man who just wanted to do his own thing. He was tired of his father's authority. Luke, chapter 15. Start reading. I'm going to start reading verse 10. Luke 15, starting in verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, starting in verse 11. This is the parable of Jesus. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. You know, the young man wanted to be gone. He didn't want to be under his dad's roof anymore. He didn't want to be under his dad's authority anymore. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. I want to get it so far away from dad that no matter what I do, he'll never hear about it. Did you ever have those thoughts when you were young and wanting to be out on your own? Hey, I want to get so far away from dad because I want to do my own thing. Again, in not many days, verse 13, after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he spent all there, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. I imagine about this time, he was probably thinking, I should have listened to old Pop. I should have listened to Dad. He tried to tell me, but you know, I was so full of myself. I knew what I was doing. Verse 15. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Well, first of all, this is probably a Jewish boy, and being around swine was not very kosher. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. I imagine there was probably those around him that was pretty well off that, you should have listened to your dad. You should have listened. But you didn't. You made your bed, so now you lie. You ever heard that phrase before? Verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Can you imagine this young man coming back to his dad with his hat in his hand and said, Dad, I'm sorry. I should have listened. I'm in a bad way. I understand that you've already given me my inheritance, that you owe me nothing. But would you take me in as a hireling? Would you let me work for you? Well, notice what happens. Verse 18. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. How many fathers here today, if you've seen your child in dire straits, and you've seen them coming to you, would you not go out and greet them? I would venture to say probably everyone here would. Yeah, you may have to have a talk, but that would be for later. Because you would be thrilled that the wayward child has come back home. It fascinates me sometimes to hear kids of all ages say how much they despise and hate the authority that they lived under. I understand there are fathers who, for whatever reason, make a child's life unbearable as they're growing up. I understand that. But do you see what Ephesians 6 in verse 2 and 3 says? It said nothing about how you are treated. It says to honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. It doesn't say if you're treated right. All right, let's go on. Where do we leave off at? Let's look at verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And I don't know why my voice is going. It did this last week, remember? So somebody is wearing perfume. It's getting to me, I think. Now, I got to blame somebody, not myself. All right. Verse 22. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf. Dads, you know what this picture is about? It's about how God looks at a sinner who has repented and obeyed the gospel. That's what this whole parable is about. The Father is God. The Son actually here is, he's in God's good favor. But the Son left. Went back into the world and lived a riotous life. But then he comes home. And he repented. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. Make me a servant. But the Father, meaning God, says, no, no, no. You've come home. Let me welcome you. Let me bring you back into the fold, the family. And as fathers on this earth, do we not also want our children to come to us as their father in seeking perhaps even forgiveness sometimes when they've erred? We don't want to push them away. We don't want to make them feel bad. And you can read on the rest of the story. They slaughtered the fatted calf and they throwed a party. And the eldest son, he heard all the commotion and asked the servant, "Hey, what's going on? Hey, your brother's home." Did he rejoice? No, he got mad. And you know the story. So what's a model father? A model father teaches the truth from infancy up. A model father has respect for individual autonomy. Because we understand and we know as fathers that our children are not the same. Since my son's here this morning, I'm not going to tell any stories on him. But he was different from his sister. And she was different from him. No, I take it back. I will tell a story. And I'm not going to embarrass him because it's good about him. He'd want to go to a friend's house. We say, fine, you go there, but if you go someplace else, you let us know where you're going. Every time that Mom and I knew of, he called, "Hey, we're going to go so-and-so." Okay, just let us know where you're at. His sister, "I'm going to go to so-and-so." "Well, go ahead, but you be back at a certain time." 2 hours after she's supposed to be back, we're searching for her, and she's nowhere to be found. Kids are different. And as fathers, we have to treat them different. It's not that we don't love them the same, but because they're different individuals, we treat them differently. A model father won't stand in the way of consequences. Make mistakes, consequences faced. A model father has a love that refuses to give up. I don't know about you, but there is absolutely nothing that my children could do that would make me stop loving them. Let me ask you this question. What can you do that will make God stop loving you? Think about that. John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life." We were sinners. But God still loved us and sent his Son to die on the cross. Fathers here today, what one thing can your child do that would make you stop loving them? I would venture to say nothing. Just as the God Almighty is not going to stop loving us, even though we sin, even though we may go back into the world as the prodigal son did. But he will rejoice with the angels in heaven for every child of God that repents and returns back to God. The model father has a love that refuses to give up. And lastly, a model father is forgiving. Aren't you glad that our Heavenly Father has forgiven us? Are you not glad that we can go to our Heavenly Father with whatever is bothering us, whatever is causing us issues in our life, we can go to Him in prayer and know that He will hear us? Just as, you know, earthly fathers, if our child calls us on the phone, we're going to sit and listen to what they have to say. So today, I want to say Happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here. May you have a blessed day, and may you look to your children in such a fashion as God looks to each and every one of us as His children, with love, compassion, and understanding. The invitation is given. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God and you wish to be baptized, would you come and make that request known? Or if you're here and already a child of God, but perhaps see that, like the prodigal son, you've run off and you wish to return, would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Hear the sweet